God is good, and He's been good to us today. And finally, you know what people look at, if you're still in the ministry and you still have a marriage after all of the pressures that are brought to bear and having a target, like the comedian said, I brought my son a BB gun for Christmas. I gave him a BB gun for Christmas, and he gave me a sweatshirt with a target on the back. So when you get in ministry, you've got a target of the enemy. And when ministers fail, I heard of one minister's failure, and it was a bad failure, and it was reaching into China and other nations and had a following here, and people were getting saved. And when that failure come, I remember my wife's grandmother crying like a baby, because it was heart-rending when someone who has been leading us and inspiring us and instructing us has that kind of a fall. And my heart broke as well. It's the first time I begin to be aware that even anointed ministers, if they're not cautious, can fall. How art the mighty fallen? How could King Saul, how could he, with God's anointing and appointing to be a king and never lost a battle because God fought with him and for Israel through him, how could it happen? How could it happen? How could Jonathan, who loved David said, I love Jonathan with a love greater than a man for a woman or a wife. This was more than just, you know. He said this was a brotherly love that was so strong. How could Jonathan choose to follow his dad, even when he knew his dad was wrong, into battle instead of stand with God and with David? So Saul and Jonathan were both destroyed. And to make it even worse, it's because they were anointed. They were anointed. Samson was anointed. How could it happen? You know, he was a great hero, but it cost him his life in order to bring glory back to the name of God. And you know why it cost him his life? Because I believe he could have lived. I believe God could have given him sight back. But his prayer was wrong. You want to hear what was wrong with his prayer? You know, Lord, strengthen me this one more time that I might bring glory to you. No. Lord, strengthen me just one more time that I may bring honor back to you because I've dishonored you. No, that was not his prayer. I wish it was. I believe things would have turned out different. Oh, yes. Those Philistines died when that temple of their false god fell on them. But it fell on him too. It fell on him too and crushed him too. Want to hear what was wrong with the prayer? I'm going to tell you anyway. You might as well go ahead and say yes. I believe you do want to hear. I don't want to make that mistake. Strengthen me one more time that I may avenge my eyes upon the Philistine. You know who got him in trouble? Philistines hated him, but when he was right with God, he picked up a jawbone, slayed 1,000. And he was humbled. He stayed humble. He almost got into pride because he didn't know what to call the hill as a memorial to that great victory that God had given through the anointing when the Spirit of God came upon him is the only way he could do these things. And when we see him because of his exploits, we see a bodybuilder looking guy with muscles where most of us don't even have places for muscles. Amen? But it didn't say anything about his size. It just said he was anointed. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. He was a Levite, and God anointed him to be a champion to defend Israel. And it began to happen when he was very young. He was walking with his parents, and a young lion roared against them. And the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And he grabbed the lion and he rent him, he tore him as he would a baby goat. Is that easy under the anointing? And we know his compromises, but it began with taking the anointing for granted. It began with pride and self-sufficiency, even though it was God's anointing. I've often said, I believe Samson probably looked like Woody Allen, a little Jew with glasses. Because God got all the glory when he did anything. They couldn't attribute it to anything but the God of Israel. He's got somebody on him and with him. A man can't kill 1,000 armed troops with the jawbone of a donkey. I don't care how many muscles he's got, but he did. But God reminded him, tried to keep him out of that pride. God reminded him. After he had done it, God had used him supernaturally. But he never made him supernatural. That's something to remember when God uses us. He never made him supernatural. God used his human body under the anointing. That's why Jesus told the disciples such anxiousness to keep going. Come apart and rest for a while. Why? God's using you, yeah. But you're a human being. You need rest. I broke laws of nature. I broke laws of nutrition. I broke laws of trust. There are things I should have given to God that I carried and saw myself as some kind of pastoral martyr for carrying it, that come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Didn't Paul say that? He had that care. But doesn't the Bible tell us what to do with that care? Cast your care upon the Lord. He'll sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. I thought carrying the care was my commitment. I carried it. And I fell under the load. And I went through nervous exhaustion. And only by the grace of God, I stayed in ministry. Only by the grace of God, he restored me. And I went through some hard places and some hard times, but I learned something through those hard times and hard places. And God was trying to help Samson because he was so exhausted. Can you imagine God supernaturally using you to fight 1,000 people coming at you and you fight until there's no one left standing? And it said he was evidently so dehydrated that he felt like he was going to faint, literally to perish. And he would have if God hadn't done something very personal, very practical, not supernatural, except in the sense of how he gave him the water. The same jawbone which God provided, the least. What, you're going to fight 1,000 men, you need more than a jawbone, more than a short sword. You need some kind of weapon that, you know, no. Samson said that he was just felt like he was going to fade away and would have. But he looked at a hollow place in the jawbone, and there was water. And he drank the water. And rehydrated. In other words, depend on me, not on the anointing on you. That's the danger. Depending on the anointing on us instead of the God who we need to help us, provide for us, protect us. So he decided, I'm going to make a memorial here unto this victory that God has given. And he called the places in the Hebrew tongue. First he called the place the hill of the jawbone. The hill of the jawbone. I mean, you could go to that and find a memorial. You ever seen a memorial when you travel to some event, some big event that happened? You know, I saw something the other day. It had a big thing. And people stopped to look at it. It was in some state that had a lot of them. And somebody put up a spoof sign. And it had, you know, looked like it was in bronze. And they looked at it and it said, nothing happened here on January the 1st, 1897. That's a spoof sign. He wanted everybody to know. He wanted to put a sign up, the hill of the jawbone. I'm not going to take credit for it, but yeah, he was. The hill of the jawbone. What happened here? Samson slayed 1,000 men. I will call. Oh, by the way, he didn't get that dehydration didn't kick in until he decided to name the hill of the jawbone, to bring glory to himself. When it was God through the Spirit that had done the work. But when he got sick unto death, dehydration, and God provided water for him to drink, he said, I want to change the name of this hill. Amen. Sometimes we have to get to that point where God is the only one that can pull us out. After we think we've got it together, we're a big shot. Amen. We've got the anointing. I don't need to be humble. But it humbled him. God was trying to keep him out of pride and self-sufficiency. He said, I'm going to change the name. You know what he named it after that? The well of him that cried. If it hadn't been for the Lord. If it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side. Psalm 124 says, our enemies have swallowed us up quickly. Let all Israel say. Come on, say it with me. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have destroyed us. That's what Jesus told Peter. Peter, Satan had desired. This is what he wants. This is his intention. He's going to move everything in this direction. He fears whoever is anointed. His desire, he wants to sift you. And all of that, all of those scriptures right in that group of scriptures, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. And we leave that with Peter. Some special thing for Peter. But it's in the plural in the actual manuscript. How many's from the South here? Okay, I'm glad to see you all this morning. Amen. I'm glad to see you all. What he said in the ancient was Satan had desired, speaking of the disciples then and the followers of Jesus now, Satan has desired to have all of you, you all, that he might sift you all as wheat. But I have prayed. This is your intercessor. This is your high priest and my high priest today. I have prayed for you all. That your faith would not fail. And when you all, you and the other disciples, when you are converted, when you get out of this place the devil's trying to defeat you in, and you will because I'm interceding for you. Praise God. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Now God has allowed me to do that for 12 years and counting now. That I have the privilege of ministering to ministers, and I never dreamed I would have that privilege, because most of the time ministers don't listen to you unless you've got a mega church or a television broadcast or you've written 15 books on the subject of whatever. And I'm just a little guy, but I serve a big God. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's been good and faithful to me. Praise the Lord. My legacy won't be something out of stone and steeple and stained glass. It'll be people that have come to Christ over these years. People that have grown in the Lord, and people that are going on in the Lord, and people that have come back to the Lord. Praise God. And people that went out to this from this ministry and either established or helped another ministry. So that can't be undone no matter what happens from here on out. There's just too much of that has happened. So God has been good to me, and I do not feel defeated. I feel like God has kept us by his grace and mercy down through all of these years in spite of all of these tears. And I don't have a sob story to tell you today. I serve a great, big, wonderful, powerful God today. So Samson called the place the well of him that cried. If he hadn't provided water for me, I would have died right there. After slaying so many, I would have died right there today. I need grace. I need mercy. Not just power. We are Pentecostals, and sometimes we can get over-focused on the power of the Holy Spirit instead of the person of Jesus Christ. Looking unto the power and the anointing and the visions and the dreams and the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. No, looking unto Jesus, the person who is the author and the finisher of your faith. I preached as we get ready to have fellowship and just, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm checking out my watch today. This is one of those watches that if you don't move it, you know, it don't run on batteries. It runs on motion. So when I get it in the morning, I start doing this. But once I start ministering, I don't think it's going to stop. Is it 12 o'clock? It is? It's accurate. Okay. I don't stop moving when I preach. Amen. But it let me know why preachers fail. Under heavy anointings. And so Saul and David go into battle. Saul and Jonathan go into battle. And they are killed in the battle. They are not just killed. They are hacked to pieces. There's not enough pieces of around to put in a tomb. So they took what they could gather up of Saul, King Saul, and they burned the flesh from the bones, collected the bones, put them somewhere. They didn't just kill them. They triumphed over them in such a way that they hacked them into pieces. Here's your great king. Here's your great God. Here's your champion. And he was. But here's what David said. Tell it not in Gath or Ashkelon. Those cities where that was is right around Jerusalem where all the trouble is today. Cities of the Philistines, the land of the Philistines. Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. The devil loves it when someone that is God's appointed, God's anointed, falls. It gets published. Amen. If a megachurch pastor falls, he's going to take people's confidence down with him. And they are falling, and they'll continue to fall. Because every person needs the mercy and the grace of God. Not just an appointing, not just an anointing, not just thousands of people applauding in the audience. We need a relationship with God. Amen. We need a vertical relationship before we have a horizontal relationship with the people that we minister to. So David, instead of saying, he tried to kill me, I was supposed to be king. See what he got. No, David stayed humble. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. One of the reasons. He stayed humble. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Saul and Jonathan were swift as eagles in battle. They couldn't lose. Because God was with them and God was for them. And God anointed them. He was an anointed to be king. Weep. Weep over them. Don't flaunt this. Weep over them. Daughters of Jerusalem, you were bejeweled with all of the spoils of war because they had victory after victory after victory. Weep for Saul and weep for Jonathan. They were swift as eagles in battle. And it's as if they had never been anointed. It's as if they had never been anointed. How can leaders with such a powerful anointing take a look at Samson? Take a look at Saul and Jonathan And then we need to take a look. I'm talking about me. Maybe this is more for me today. I need to take a look at myself. But maybe it'll help you understand, how can that be? And here's the wrong response to that. I hope you're figuring it out. I have a responsibility to keep my relationship with God strong. Before I start pouring out, I need to drink in. I went and preached in a church in Bangor, Maine. Two brothers had a church there. One was Robert Gass. His brother stayed in Bangor, Maine and preached and had it back in the 80s when people coming to the Lord by the swarms, and a lot of people from traditional churches had come there. And they just filled the place up in the dead of winter in Maine. They had a whole room, looked like the size of this, just for the galoshes and overshoes. People would wear them in and take them off when they got there. They would come in the snow and in the rain and in the sleet and in the freezing sub-zero temperatures to church because they were hungry for God. Robert became an evangelist. He got his start at PTL. He spoke there and he began to get invitations all over the world. He was booked up for a year. You had to book him for a year in advance to get him to come to your church. He had a television broadcast in Georgia, in Atlanta, that he was on, ministering. And he got away from his relationship with his family like he should have. He got away from his prayer time with the Lord, his personal walk with the Lord. He was too busy ministering to take time to pray like he needed to seek like he needed to draw from God what he needed from God to help him. And he burned out. He said, when I burn out, I went to the closet getting ready to tape a television broadcast. I was trying to find a coat that would match my slacks and tie. And it overwhelmed me. It got so bad trying to pick a coat to go. You got to be burnt out. He started weeping. He said, I started crying. Some of my staff wanted to know, what's wrong? He said, I've got to go home. I'm sorry. He went home, but he had an invitation to speak in Italy. He got on a plane, thought it would be good to get away. I'll let somebody fill in. I'll get away. It's kind of a combination ministry and vacation. He went to Italy to preach, and he's questioning God. Why is this happening to me? You're giving me doors open like never before, opportunities to minister like never before. Why is this happening to me? If you're carrying stress today, I urge you, whatever you think you've got to take care of and handle, give it to God. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He'll sustain you. Don't wait for Him to sustain you. Until you, by faith, trust Him with what is weighing you down. Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, to me, to me, to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and you'll find rest for your soul. There's a movie made years ago. I think it was a Technicolor movie back when color coming on the scene, called Three Coins in a Fountain. The fountain where it was filmed was in Rome. Robert Gass wanted to go see that fountain. He didn't even know if he could preach that night. He was still under that pressure. He was burnt out, like Samson was after killing 1,000. He needed water in the rock. I think there's salt honey in the rock somewhere here. We might play that to quit on. Amen. We might. You can find that one? Okay. We're almost done here. Are you getting something? Are you understanding, even in your personal walk with the Lord? Hallelujah. I treasure the anointing. I treasure it. But I know that it's my walk with God takes precedence over any kind of preaching anointing. I would have never burned out. But God brought me through. God brought me through. Pamela knows how bad off I was. But God is merciful. She went through it with me. So she went through it first. I went through it second. I wanted her to snap out of it. Yeah. I did. I wanted, come on now, Pamela. I need you to be strong for me. Come on. Snap out of it. Snap out of it. Snap out of it. Had a little thing on my desk somebody bought me. It was a little caricature of somebody who looked like a great prophet or something, like maybe Moses or Abraham, a little caricature. And, well, it was Moses because he was holding the Ten Commandments in his lap like that. And down at the bottom it said, take two tablets and call me in the morning. That's not how I minister. That's not how I roll. But I did have some snap answers from the scripture that I could give you till I went through something. And I found out I can't just preach at you. I need to love you. I need to tell you about people's been where you are. And I need to tell you a whole lot about the faithfulness of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. Hallelujah. That you would put your trust under the shadow of His wings. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he's standing at this fountain. And God spoke to him. He couldn't find God. He couldn't feel God. He couldn't sense God. His emotions were so raw. And he said, God spoke to him and said, look where the water's coming from. And there were three heads of big, huge lions. And the water was pouring from those lions into that fountain. And God said, this is you and much of my ministry today. Mighty anointing. Lions pouring water out. Living water. But never stopping to drink. Never stopping. You know what Jesus did under all the anointing he had? People were thronging him to be healed. They were all over him. That sounds hard and harsh, but he was in a human body. He was God incarnate. That's why he understands you and me so well. Because he knows. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities because he's been through it. He withdrew himself from them. What? There's a prayer line out here a mile long waiting for you to touch them or to touch you. And you're just going to say, I'm out of here. No, you're supposed to stay here till the very last person in line gets that touch. He withdrew himself. What did he do that for? Bible said he went up into a mountain and was there alone with God. What an example. Tells the disciples when they come back with the mandate from God to go with the anointing, they said, demons are subject to us. They said, wait. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. No big deal. Come apart. Before you go back again, with all your enthusiasm and anointing, come apart and rest for a while. And rest for a while. You can't, because of the anointing or the appointing, break the laws that govern our health and our humanity. People try to do it. They burn out. They give out. And so Robert Gass, from that moment, said, I got too many irons in the fire. There's a lot of good things that I'm doing that's not God things. And I've got to rearrange it. And he, first thing he rearranged his relationship with his wife and family. I've got to be, you don't get to not be a husband when you are called to preach. Paul had the gift of singleness. Said if you not married, under such persecution, you shouldn't marry. You're like a man getting ready to go to war. Shouldn't get married the night before you're going to war, because you might not come back and leave a wife, possibly with a child, And Paul was going to give his life for the Lord. He lived his life for the Lord. Amen. So he said, I got reconciled to my family. I got reconciled to my relationship of fellowship with the Lord. And then I didn't overload myself because of ministerial opportunities that would take me away from time with the Lord, with my family. So he didn't burn out, and he recovered, and God still used him. But when I tell that to ministers, I want to tell it to you today as well. You want to know why ministers fall and fail? Both is because they're always pouring out, never stopping to drink in. My wife and I sit and listen to a minister that is going on 90 years of age. He's got his marriage. Now, I remember setting up in our church. I remember setting up a 16 millimeter camera, rented a screen, and Chuck Swindoll was talking about his marriage, and I rented the movie on a big reel. The name of the movie was Strike the Original Match, because Cynthia, his wife, he was not being a daddy, he was not being a father, he was not being a husband, but he was being a real good preacher. And they were about to part. And he had to rearrange everything. Ministers need a balance. And I burned out because I didn't have that balance. But thank God my wife stood with me and stayed with me. And that's why I honor her today. Because I gave myself more to people and their needs. I've left the table on Christmas Day to go to a hospital and pray for somebody that somebody called me and said needed prayer, and I assumed they would be there. I'm still learning. It's Christmas. They're not going to leave their family to go to the hospital to be with the person that's in such great need, but I'll send my pastor. So there am I. And when I get back, dinner's over and everything is, you know, now it's all cooled down, and Dad wasn't there for Christmas dinner, but I prayed for someone. And I don't resent it, praying for someone, but I look back on it and think, you know, this could have waited until after I had dinner with my family, and I could have took right off. But I felt a responsibility to please everybody, and I found out I love you guys, but I can't please everybody. Amen. I just can't. I would love to, but I can't, and I've accepted that I can't. So sometimes people are going to be disappointed in me. Some people are going to be mad at me. But I'm committed to doing what I can to help everybody, but I can't help everybody. I can point you to the one who can. That's the real substance of my ministry. Is pointing you to the only one who can. And if you will look to him, I guarantee double to you, he will be faithful and he will help you. And it's time for fellowship right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we'll save that, okay? How many people are glad to be here? And we're going to have a celebration, and we've got some cake. And I'm going to tell you to do it right back here today before you go to a restaurant or home. Go and eat the fat. And drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.